Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Warriors of the Bible broadcast, calling all warriors to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Stay tuned for today's message. God, which will demonstrate that God is a warrior. This is the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I am your host, Brother James, and we are just so happy here to be able to come to you and to teach and expound upon the true word of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, convincing all people at all times that God is a warrior, that the Eternal One, the Creator of all things, is a warrior, which is the whole purpose of Him making anything, to show how powerful He is, how intelligent He is, how much wisdom He has. But in order to do that, amen, you must have opposition. And God has created all things for that reason. And that's why you have what you have in the world today. Opposition to God and opposition to His Son, Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, in opposition to the Word of God. God is a warrior. And at the end of the day, it's going to come out God's way. At the end of the 24-hour period, amen, it's going to come out God's day. Brother James here, so glad to be with you again. And we'd like to say good blessings and hello to our listeners out there in Australia. The statistics are showing we have some brothers and sisters in Australia listening to our broadcast on the several internet radio stations and podcasts that we put out through the RSS feed. And we thank you so much for our brothers and sisters in Australia. I know last week I was talking about brothers and sisters in Norway. Amen. That have been in contact, that listen to our program, and all over Canada, and the United States, and the Philippines, and in Russia, amen, in Jesus' name. We just thank you so much. I'm so blessed. A little nothing like me that can be used by God in these end times. I'm so blessed. And we are going to get an email for you soon so that you can contact me and tell me how you like the broadcast. Real soon we're going to be doing that. Just stay tuned. So before we get into the Bible study today, I want to just open with this. Brother James has to say this. So apparently the false Christendom in the world and the United States, primarily let's say the United States, is coming alive in these end times. As predicted, prominent churches are petitioning the government here in the United States to reopen places of worship, we call them churches, that these churches, of course, as everything else here in the United States has been shut down May 9th, 2020. I speak because of this COVID-19 virus. And places of worship where people gather, along with other corporations, other businesses, have been shut down temporarily. In these churches, the leaders of these major denominations are complaining that this is a violation of their such-and-such amendment or their constitutional right to worship and assemble yourselves. They're getting mixed up with the Bible and all that stuff. And, you know, they're putting pressure on these governments, the government of the United States, who really is only trying to stop the spread of this deadly virus. And the churches, of course, false Christendom is putting pressure on the governments. Now, listen to this. The idea here is that we have a right to worship. We have a constitutional right to gather together and assemble ourselves. So when we go back to the Word of God, we don't see those type of issues in God's Word because it's not there. What is there is what and how you are to worship the unseen truth of Jesus Christ, who cannot be seen. But before I get into that, we want to know what scriptures and verses, amen, that these major denominations and major churches, congregations in America are using, what scripture and verses they are using, amen, to confirm this. Now, I think that as far as the Constitution is concerned, it says you have the right to openly worship, but I don't think any law has circumvented that law, stopping anyone to worship. So what's really going on here? What's going on is you are witnessing the end time prophecy being fulfilled of false Christendom, which is going to be the head and the lead of false religion and the false church of the end time, the satanic church, which will pose as a Christian church. The scriptures are very clear. Jesus told us how to worship when he was talking to the woman at the well who was living in sexual immorality and had been living in sexual immorality, a sinner, claiming that she went to a specific place to worship God. She went up into the mountains to worship God. These same insidious liars of these churches that rule the world and have a hidden agenda, claiming that they have that stopping people from going to the mountains, or in this case, to a building, whatever, stops them from worshiping. Jesus told the woman at the well, you don't know what you're worshiping for, and you don't know who you're worshiping. Jesus was God in the flesh. He said those that worship God worship him one way. And he said because God, and at that time, of course, he used the word Jehovah, but it's been changed to the word God through the English translations, which is okay, but I'm just telling you. The Son of God said God is a life force or a spirit. And we know that a spirit is not bound by buildings or roofs or temples. You don't go anywhere to worship God because he is everywhere. So Jesus explained, and how can the scriptures tell us that, and then the mainline, I mean, these ministers get right on national TV and claim the government is stopping them from worshiping a spirit. Now, the members of our government may not know, but Brother James and anyone that has any kind of spiritual concept says, you can't stop people from worshiping a spirit. What they're doing, what these mainline denominational, pastors are talking about is the government, by shutting down and stopping the gathering of people coming to their local churches, and they're stopping from getting their money, cash, moolah, money orders, checks, you liars. That's what it's about. You think that God doesn't know your thoughts? Yet these people, if they were bums or murderers or criminals, you would be able to say, oh, this is about money. But because they are the leaders of the church, you believe that there's something divine about them when they themselves are the children of the devil in the high-ranking parts of Christendom, a sure sign of the end times. You're a bunch of liars, and if you're listening to me and you're one of those pastors that are part of this, the good news is God is using me, and he uses who he wants to tell you he knows all what your thoughts are. He's everywhere at one time. He can see all and hear all, and he's giving you a chance to get it together. Once you are given truth by God, God cannot conceal that truth anymore. You just simply walk in truth, Pastor, yet you live a lie. That's what happens. Judas knew the truth because the truth was revealed to him through his conversations and his time dwelling with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he went on to deny the Lord, same thing with Peter. When he went on to betray the Lord, same thing with Peter. It didn't take away the truth. He just did his evil works while knowing the truth. And this is all about Benjamins and Washingtons or whoever president's face is on our money. You're a bunch of liars. You cannot go to a place, to a building, to worship God. Neither can you get in your little bitty car and drive by the hundreds to a place and have some kind of congregation or fellowship. You need to stop smoking your Newport 100s is what you need to do, and stop lusting after men and watching anything on HBO. That's how you worship God. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible. Let's get into the Bible study right now. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. If you do not have that with you right now, just listen along as we read it, because I lost my place and the Bible fell, but I'll just get to it. Casting down imaginations, taking hold of every thought. I lost my place here, but I'll get right down to it. Brother James, praise the Lord, has got enough revelation that I don't need to read out of a scripture. I'm telling you right now, the problem is your thought life. The name of the title of today's message is your thought life. Walk in deliverance. Your thought life. Let me tell you, the devil has enough things to worry. He has enough things to keep him busy than your stinking, dirty, cutthroat thoughts, woman of God. If you think right, you're going to act right. Now, you get delivered, but you let me tell you something. You don't have the mental capacity, brother, to mentally hold your deliverance. Amen. So let's get it right. You cast down your imaginations, take hold of every thought, and hold those thoughts captive. Now, the thoughts we're talking about, I can break it down for you, are negative thoughts that are against God's word. You thinking that you want to go out and choke the neck of that quarterback who threw an interception is not demonic, and it's not going to need deliverance. Okay? Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. But you've been a saved, sanctified woman of God, claim to be a Christian woman, and talk about what you want to, your thoughts come in your mind, or what you want to do with this man, and you let those thoughts stay there. Now we have a different story. That's not God's word. Now, let me tell you something. Here's truth. When Brother James says, here's truth, I want you to ponder on this like God uses me to ponder on truth he gives me. Because I'll tell you, the truth that he gives me, 5-6 seconds is gone. And I got to go search my mind and thoughts for it again. That's how God works. You know that the enemy is working in your mind, which is your thoughts, when negative things come in and they don't come out. Okay? You know God is working on your mind, which is your thoughts, when he has something to reveal to you, and it's just 5-6 seconds, and it's gone. Now, if you can listen to a broadcast of a brother or sister on the radio or internet, whatever, and you can rewind that, that's a blessing from God. And then every time you rewind that and listen to it again, he gives you a new revelation. Here is truth. What God has shown you through your troubles, what God has given you through other people, that have done evil to you and the circumstances that you find yourself in that are negative. This is called deliverance. Deliverance is not just about getting demons casted out, which Christians can have them. Listen, you know, I want to just tell you this. It's not all about, you know, before you got saved, you had that in you. Before you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you know, you had this evil in you and you brought this baggage into your new Christian life. We say that. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not necessarily true. It's error, but that's okay. It's not going to hurt you. You know, there was witchcraft in your family line. That could be true, and then it passed up to you somehow. That could be true, but that's not necessarily the problem in your new Christian, in your Christian life now, because you were always saved. See, you don't get saved. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about the names that were written in the Lamb's Book of Life when? In 1958? In 1902? No. Before the foundation of the world. Do you know what before the foundation of the world, of this world, was? Well, I can tell you exactly the day and the time that before the foundation of the world is. It's when God had a plan in his mind on how he wanted things to be, on how he wanted things to act, and how he wanted to create things. Then that plan he put, you know, in creation, and he created everything from a cockroach to an angel, and he created them to do what he wanted them to do. That's called before the foundation of the world. That means if your name, the Book of Life, is a scroll that God predetermined that he would make and write, the Lamb, his Son, Jesus Christ, he predetermined him to shed his blood. That's why it's called the Lamb's Book of Life, and the names that are in it are the names that will be redeemed from the blood of the Lamb. All of this is before the foundation of the world. So you don't bring nothing in to your new life. What you are is what God made you. You know, they use that a lot in Christian counseling, in Holy Ghost counseling. When people have been believers and you know, they're living for Jesus Christ, but they're still tormented by the devil by some thing that took place in their life earlier. And someone, finally, the Lord brings someone or some people. I know. You know, in my deliverance, he's brought a whole bunch of ministers into my life, and I still cannot understand how much love he's shown for me. He brought all these different people in my life that he claims was necessary, and I thank him so much because I'm getting to my next. I'll get to that in a minute. But whatever you were, you are. That means if God already knew your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you didn't just get on the pathway to righteousness. You were already on it. But the horror or the tragedies or the crises in your life is part of who you are. I'll do it like this. If you are the heavyweight champion of the world, then God is the promoter. And the Lord Jesus Christ promotes before you were born who your challengers are. Were going to be, and who's going to challenge you, and how they were going to challenge you. Therefore, your challenges in your Christian life are based upon the challenges that God predetermined for you before you became a Christian. Now, brother, that's some revelation. I'll read that again. What God has shown you through your troubles and your trials, what God has given you through other people doing evil to you or bringing problems into your life and circumstances, what he's done is brought in deliverance. He's delivering you from what he brought into your life. Now, you can use the devil, demons, Lucifer, fallen angels who work through people. You can put them all in there because they've all done the evil part of God's plan. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Unless you're deaf, dumb, or blind, when Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, but when he, right in the scriptures, was living right here on the earth in the human flesh, and he destroyed the works of the devil, he cast out demons. There were myriads of demons left on earth and many people that were not cast out. The devil was busy then when Jesus walked the earth. He's been busy since Jesus dead, resurrected. He's busy now, and he's yet, the devil is yet to be busiest. So you sit up and say, Jesus, amen, came to destroy the works of the devil, yet everywhere you see the devil is busy, you're going to have two conclusions. He did not destroy the works of the devil, or he destroyed the works of the devil in a certain place. He sure did destroy the works of the devil, but where he did it was in, if you go back in the scriptures when he was on earth, everyone that was a believer, everyone that he called and chose, the devil had to go. Had to go. And whenever the devil appeared, that believer, that brother, that sister was commissioned to have the power to back the devil down, to back the devil up, and to literally harass the devil. Don't you want to be able to harass the devil? What I'm trying to say is this. In order for you to be delivered, you must be in bondage. The children of Israel were delivered, but they had to be in bondage. And if they were the sons of God, they were the people of God, because God said so, then only God could put them in bondage. Pharaoh didn't put them in bondage. He was used by God to do it. It was right there in the Bible. In Romans chapter 10, the Lord is saying, for this reason I raised Pharaoh up. Now take the word Pharaoh and say your co-worker. For this reason God raised your co-worker up. He raised that good-for-nothing husband or wife that you divorced up. He raised people in your family that do evil against you. Say that. Say, God raised them up so that I might show my mighty power. You have not seen and you will not see the power of God unless there is a purpose, unless there is a tragedy, unless there is a reason. So God, if God had shown, I'm talking about you now and me, but I'm talking about you. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James. Today's message is the thought life. Let's get right to it. The thought life, your stinking thinking is the problem. Walk in deliverance. You got to get your mind right to hold your deliverance. You're in the promised land. God's plan is for you to wipe out everything that opposes you, but you got to know what opposes you. It's, we say the devil, but listen, the devil got to have something to feed on, brothers and sisters, and that's your thought life. Amen. If God had shown you or me, I'm sorry, if God had shown or revealed to other people in your family or in this world, the deliverance that he has shown and offered you and me, then those people would not be where they are now, in hell or on the way. Listen, brother, God is love. He loves all those that he's called, that he called and he chosen. I don't know what else to tell you. You go up there, some of these ministers go out there to these abortion rallies, and I tell you, most people in the ministry, ain't nobody called you to be there. Most people are pastors. You're good, gentle people, but ain't nobody called you to be there. You go out to these abortion rallies and get in the face of the women who are marching for their rights to abort, and you tell up and tell how God loves you and God loves them and God loves the baby and God wants this baby, you know, not to have an abortion. God wants this woman not to abort. What in the hell good for a woman not to give up the child and still be on the highway to the lake of fire? The problem is not the abortion. The problem is the woman is a fornicating, adulterous whoremonger. Deal with the sexual immorality and then you will deal with abortion. Now, you would expect that to come from a man of God. Yet the men of God and all these churches are going out there trying to stop people from killing their babies. Give your baby up for adoption. Let the baby live. Ain't said nothing about that person's salvation. Amen. What I'm trying to say is this. The deliverance that God offers the people of God is dealing with our thought life. See, when you become born again, your spirit where the demons and your sin dwelt in your life force. You lived to sin. Okay? You live to cuss. You live to swear. You live to get drunk. I can't emphasize that. There's nothing wrong with a glass of wine here and there. Or maybe even two. And the drunkards that I've met, I never heard, met of a person getting drunk once a week. They got drunk several times a week. But, you know, I'm saying that you lived to sin because your spirit was occupied by demonic forces and you loved to sin. When you became born again through Jesus Christ, you don't want to sin. No, that's the first thing that happens. You do not want to sin. You still can sin. What brings you to the point that you can sin is you still need to be delivered. Deliverance is the children's bread. In other words, there is the born-again experience and then changing you from a human being into the image of God. Not on the outside, on the inside. And the way God's that, God does that, is he brings all of, listen to me, what you like to do, your lust, your passions, amen, the things that you like to sin, and he orders the devil to use people, that's very important, to get you to cross that line. Now, you notice who I said. I said God. Now, you can walk around talking about the devil's this and the devil's that and the devil's that. You can do what you want, but you can't say that the devil, now that you're a believer, that the powers of darkness can run roughshod, gangster style, do what they want, when they want, to one of the sons of God. That don't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Then what is the good for God to be there? That the devil can do as he pleases to you. The end result, if you submit to God in these areas, and then you resist the devil, what happens? Who do you become like? You don't become more like the devil, and you don't become more like your mama and daddy. You don't become more human. You become more godly. Therefore, if 2 minus 1 equals 1, who is to benefit by all the trouble that you have? Jesus Christ. So therefore, who is behind the trouble? Jesus Christ. Because if you submit to God, so all he's asking you to do is submit to God. No, you've already submitted to God. What do you need to do? It's the thought life, brother. It's what you're thinking. Your thinking pattern has to be dealt with. You see, as a man thinketh, so is he. And I can help you out like I was helped out right now. All the things that God has allowed in your life to deliver you from fear, anxiety, wrath, strife, anger, sexual lust. The reason, listen, brother, listen, sister, the reason that there are many in hellfire right now or on the way is because simply God did not offer those things to them. And that's all to it. So we have to understand that the thought life, it's paramount, and God's going to deal with it. And you have a position in which you won't, if you only go so far, you get deliverance. If you don't hold on to that deliverance, then you're going to be worse off than you were before, or you may be the same as you were, but you're going to find out. You just are not going to be a saved Christian and not walk in victory. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James. Today's message is entitled The Thought Life. Finally, listen, brothers and sisters, our thought life has to be dealt with by God. Think like a warrior and act like an overcomer, and you will be. Think like a warrior. The issues that you are fearing to confront, think what God has done for you in the past, and you will learn how to fight the devil and win. You know, you don't need to go to no building, no church for that, because the devil doesn't, he knows where you live. Take him out. Take him apart. Look forward to pounding him every chance you get in these end times that we are in. Amen. So, again, you're listening to the Warriors of the Bible. Again, so wonderful to be with you again. And until we meet again, may God keep you in perfect peace.